Hello everybody, this is English for You, the program that helps you improve your English. A very warm welcome. In the studio I have my enthusiastic, gifted, talented, smiling Fosico students. Kota, what's up?
Everything's okay.
Good. How's it hanging?
I'm fine, thanks.
Good. Victor, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Good. Victoria, how are you?
Fine, thanks.
Great. And today's special guest is Mr. Molnár Tamás. And if you look at him, you can see that he's wearing his gear, a very special set of clothes for a particular occasion or for a particular activity. So he's not wearing his Sunday best. He's not wearing his pajama top and pajama bottom, but this is a very special gear. Thank you very much for joining us.
And you're very welcome.
Tommy, would you be so kind as to stand up and introduce your gear, whether it has a special name, the material, everything you can say about this?
Yes, this is basically called a gi, and this is part of a martial arts uniform, which is actually called a uniform. There's different type of uniforms, a different type of styles. This particular is my style.
We're not going to give it away. We are not going to give it away.
Of course not.
What could you tell us about the material? Plastic?
This material is a very thick material due to that it's a lifetime guaranteed because of the everyday hot use.
Must have been very expensive, I guess.
Yes, it was very expensive.
You don't want to say it.
Yes, the beginner starts with a quite cheap material uniform, which they wore out about a few months. And then once they reach a certain level, they upgrade to this uniform in a different color.
So the name is gi.
Yes.
And you have this gear when you fight?
I have this gear actually when I instruct, when I teach, and also when I fight.
And when you fight, you have some additional extras like?
Yes, as the gear, actual headgear, protecting gear.
Headgear basically, and possibly gloves.
Yes, that would depend on the type of fight we do.
Thank you very much. Sit down, please.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Now, you mentioned martial arts, which is fighting skills developed in Eastern countries, I would say Far Eastern countries, basically. Can you come up with a couple of various martial art forms?
Karate.
Victor?
Yes, karate.
Sorry.
And maybe kung fu, taekwondo.
You mentioned karate. Where do you think it comes from?
I think from Japan.
You mentioned kung fu. Where do you think it comes from?
I don't know.
China.
China. Thank you very much. And you mentioned the third one, which is just excellent. I'm very happy. And I want Tommy to say it because my Korean is not too good.
Taekwondo.
Say it again, please.
Taekwondo.
Taekwondo. And unfortunately, I've given away the country. Right? You remember the name of the country where this particular martial art form comes from?
Korea.
And if you look at this photograph, there is a clue here which helps you find out Korea. What is the clue in the picture?
The flag, isn't it?
The flag. Absolutely wonderful. In the middle. And Victoria, what can you see in the picture?
They call yourself fighters because I think they have almost the same kind of uniform as you do. They might be beginners and they are very neatly, organized in rows, and I think they are having a session of a kind.
Absolutely wonderful. If you look at Tommy, you can see his belt. Would you show your belt, please? And you can see the color. It's not very demanding to find out the color, right? It is
black.
I've said that my students are talented and gifted,
yes.
Right?
But I noticed.
Thank you. But if you look at this picture, you can see other belts. What colors can you identify in the picture? Looking at the belt, just cut
there's
off.
A pink one in the corner. I don't know.
Right.
Little guy.
Orange.
Yellow. So different belts, okay? Now, this little girl is wearing a white belt. I think this is the first step. And I have these color cards, and I'm going to shuffle these color cards, and I'm going to give out those color cards. So this is for you. And
thanks.
And I have the yellow, and Tommy has the black. Now, you know, color coding, the magical power of color. So the white is the first. Which one do you think is the second?
Yellow.
Yellow.
How do you know it?
I don't know.
Fantastic. Yellow, and then comes? Tommy, would you help us?
Of course.
So would you show your cards, please, and which one comes after yellow?
Green.
Green. Okay. Then comes?
Blue.
Blue. Would you hold it up? Right, that's yours. And then comes?
Brown.
Brown.
Then red.
And yours is black.
Black. Yes.
Okay. So we can see, in this picture, we can see Tommy and who?
That is actually the Grandmaster. He's from Korea, and he's the grandmaster of our association.
Right. So, is it the ultimate goal of a fighter to achieve a black belt?
That would depend on the purpose of individually, that what they choose. But yes, the first goal is the ultimate goal, yes, it's the black belt.
The black belt. How long does it take?
That would, again, depends on the person, on the participation, and the willpower, and the will of the person, how determined.
But usually?
Approximately 4 to 6 years.
4 to 6 years, and then after that, that's it. You have the black belt, you're happy, you're smiling, satisfied, and nothing else. Or no. You can go on with this.
No, actually the black belt is just the first step.
And then comes?
Yes, we have to walk and then run.
And run. So, okay. I would like you to show us something. So, for example, what is lesson one? Okay, it's Taekwondo, okay?
Yes.
Lesson one, page one. Activity one. Okay, so we can just stand up and show us something,
yes.
Maybe the breathing, and then maybe one punch, and how about a kick or something?
The very first thing is it's how they stand. So it's called an attention stand, and they put the hand together, and this is called attention. That's when the instructor talks, that's when everybody stands, and then it's called the relaxation stance. When everybody relaxes, it's called the Chumbi stance.
I'm very good
Korean.
At it, right?
When somebody step out and put your hands together, and this is relaxing. This is when they're waiting for the instructions.
And breathing? Very natural?
They can breathe normal at this point. They should be okay.
Okay.
There's nothing. Right now, there's nothing physically hard.
How about one or two punches?
From here, they're going into a fighting stance. They go into a comfortable fighting stance. They pick out the stance that is comfortable. It's not too wide, it's not too deep, just to come to a fighting stance. And then from there, they can start activities. Basic punch, double the punch, and basic kick, which is called a front snap kick.
And one more time.
And maybe another basic kick is called a roundhouse, which is comes around and back.
Okay.
So that's a basic for someone who starts.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot. Oh, mm-hmm. And I have this word here, kata. What does that mean in your sport?
That would mean a form, a kata. Kata is an actual Japanese word for an imaginary fight.
An imaginary fight. When you fight against an imaginary opponent?
That is correct.
Good. Right. So this is kata. So another meaning. That's very nice. Now this guy left the country at the age of 19. Repeat, at the age of 19. I can foresee your future. I mean, your future is pretty predictable to me. In May, you're going to take your final exam, A pluses. Then you go to university. Then you're going to have a couple of children. Fine. You are 18. Should your adventuresome nature take over, where would you go? What would you try, Koto?
I think I'd go around Europe, and I'm pretty clever with my hands, and I think I would make those little objects which people like to see or touch it, I don't know.
Perhaps so some kind of crafts and pottery,
yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah, and perhaps I would make a living out of it.
So you would go to the market and sell your things?
That's it.
Excellent, I love this. Sobocz, what about you? Where would you go?
I would like to go to South America or the Caribbean, maybe try to play in an amateur music band, play the guitar, for example.
Some kind of blues,
yes.
Right?
Not blues in the Caribbean, but some Caribbean music. Not to be the leader of the group, but...
Reggae, some kind of reggae.
Okay, reggae, let's say, it's okay.
Can you imagine Sobocz going to a club every night playing reggae? Excellent, I love that. Victor, how about you?
I would choose a remote lake, for instance, and live a reclusive life for a couple of years and maybe try fishing, because I don't know why people like fishing, so I
try. Why not try it, right?
Why not try it and drawing, thing. Maybe.
Right. What was it? What?
Drawing.
Drawing. Drawing, right. Yes. Okay, thank you very much. Victoria?
I would go to the Orient because that's just perfectly different from what we have in Europe and in America, and I would like to see what life is like there.
You mean the Far East?
Yes.
Japan?
Yes, but it's got nothing to do with our topic today, but I thought I would test my endurance and try to see things relatively.
That's very, very interesting. A sort of ascetic life?
Yes, exactly.
Oh, really?
So that I could evaluate more what I have here.
Good. Nice ideas. Nice ideas. Very nice idea. Now, I wonder if you recognize this person, Victor?
Bruce Lee.
Bruce Lee. What does Bruce Lee mean to you, Tommy?
Everyone who does anything remotely martial arts will know him, and most likely influenced by him, because he started revolutionized martial arts in a way. He brought it out to the Western world that was never possible before.
And you saw his films, or you had seen his films before you went to the States?
Yes, I did. I did everything I possibly could, every research about him, his book, his movies, his speeches, everything that I could.
Right. Now, the second picture is another fighter. And Savoy, do you recognize this guy?
Jackie Chan.
Again, the same question. What does he mean to you?
It's the same thing. He's a little bit relaxed. He's more comedic than Bruce Lee was. He's not as serious, and it's really enjoyable watching his movies because his technique, and he's quite crazy, actually. So what he achieved with his skills and his body, that...
Yes. Were they responsible for your leaving the country?
I'm not sure about leaving, but the adventure and then his whole way of life and the way he sees the world also, yes, it may have something to do with it. But it's more have to do with me starting this thing when I was a kid.
So the first step was the United States. You went to the United States, yes, at the age of 19. How about your English? How well could you speak English? I mean, it's a crucial question. Imagine this guy, 19, leaving the country, arriving in the United States, knowing English perfectly. Is it the case?
No, of course not. No.
So what's the case?
No, absolutely not a word. I could say I don't understand and thank you. So I have to choose between the two variations. Someone talk to me, I either say I don't understand or yes.
Okay, so you survived the first 2 days, but then what happened? I mean, how did you pick up English? What was your method? And I'm holding this small, absolutely small dictionary.
I have that book and that little book, which was with me every single day of the past decade. And that's what I learned English from that book. Mostly the word, a lot of words I translated from there, and that was my traveling guide, my Bible, I could say.
And how many words did you write down? You wrote down a couple of words every day, or listened to the television, or what was the method?
I usually, when somebody's in everyday life with a different country, you hear words, and it stays in you, run home, look at it, and all of a sudden the whole conversation just makes sense. Mm. Not until that point. And slowly, word by word, every day, new words, it came to
Fantastic.
A picture.
I mean, I admire you for this, truly, honestly. I mean, arriving in a country, not knowing a word, and having this kind of energy and strength to do this. So congratulations. Do you have some kind of special method to learn words or to improve your English, Victoria?
Mine was reading, because I've always read a lot, and I never panicked if I didn't understand something. And if I can advise anybody, I definitely say they shouldn't look up everything, just the basic words and just the most important ones, and they can pick up an extreme amount of words, even if it's passive vocabulary.
Right, thank you very much. Good. Victor?
Maybe I have a method of how to recall some words which I heard only once, for instance.
What's the method?
Remember the most dominant letters of it. So, for instance, we're pigeon, and there is a G, and it starts with P, and then I just start to puzzle the letters.
Fantastic. Very interesting method. Thank you very much. You have a wonderful picture here. Kota, would you like to describe this picture?
Yeah, it's a picture of a city next to a lake or perhaps the sea. And it might be, the sun might be going down, or it's perhaps very, it might be in the morning, I don't know. And we see that there are a lot of skyscrapers, and it might be pretty modern. And
right, and there's an exceptionally tall building.
Yeah.
Does anybody recognize this tall building? Victor?
Maybe just the city.
Yes?
So it's, I think, Seattle. But I don't...
I think it's Toronto.
And
there's a television... what?
Television tower?
Tower.
Yeah, actually, yeah. This is the... You know this building?
Yes, that's actually... yes, a little bit. Yes, I do.
Canadian National Tower, and it's a sort of radio tower. Do you have any idea why I chose this?
Yes, I think I do.
All right, so why?
Because I don't work on these type of towers. I have to climb up and work outside of the tower. Yes.
Repeat it, will you? You had to?
Climb up in the towers, radio towers, not specifically this type of towers, but radio towers, but cell phone towers, television towers, have to climb up.
And, because you had to make money.
Yes, yes, I had to make money.
First he learned English, then he had physical jobs, right?
Yes.
For example, at one point you were a bouncer, weren't you?
Yes,
you know what
of
a bouncer
course.
Is? A strong man, that is him, employed to throw out unwelcome customers from a bar, from a restaurant, right? Now, I have a word here, and this huge tower gave me the idea to talk about phobias, strong, very strong feelings, sometimes unnatural fear of something, phobias. And a lot of people have phobias. Tommy certainly does not have phobias, because then he wouldn't climb up such a tall building. Would you just look at your word cards, please? And you have a couple of phobias over there, the international words for phobias. And here we have a couple of words on the projector, like the fear of water, small spaces, high places, and open places. I think that there's a little, there's a problem here. It should be small spaces. Small spaces, open spaces, and high places. I wonder if you could match your word card with the words. If you can, would you put up your hand? Okay, so you have...
Mine is water. It is hydrophobia.
What helped you?
Hydro.
Hydro. Hydro. Hydrophobia is the fear of water. What have you got?
Claustrophobia, and it's small spaces.
A fear of small spaces, claustrophobia. Subwoosh, what have you got?
Well, I can guess. Maybe it's fear of open places.
Fear of open places. You have agora in Greek societies, yes. In Greek cities, mm-hmm. A huge marketplace where political rallies were held. Agoraphobia, when you are afraid of walking out in spaces. And yours is?
And mine is acrophobia, and it
must be.
It must be high places.
High places. Fear of heights. Guys, do you have any problems, any phobias? Nothing?
Maybe I have
claustrophobia. That's terrible,
elevator.
Isn't it? Right. It's just absolutely terrible. And this is my absolute favorite. It's phobophobia, when you have an unnatural fear of phobias. This is phobophobia. I mean, this is the
That's
ultimate
a problem.
Thing. This is the problem.
That's a problem.
Right. Thank you very much. Now, right. Besides your job, and besides your jobs, you kept on working and kept on doing this martial art thing, right?
Yes.
And I can see a beautiful picture here. What can you tell us about this picture? Where is it? Where was it taken?
That was taken in Missouri State, the city I live, which is, this one is called Camdenton. And it's a Black Belt Academy, which is the name of my school.
Would you say it again? Your school in Missouri?
Yes.
Not bad. Not bad. Right. And I can see a picture here. This is Tommy with a small guy. It's going to come up pretty soon. And the name of this guy is Austin.
Yes.
What can you tell us about Austin?
Well, he started it, and he's a very shy little kid. He had no confidence, and that is that's not really good. So basically, a lot of times people come to us to help for help, confidence, put confidence into the kids. And among that, everything else comes with it. So discipline, self-control. And
so are you a teacher or a fighter or an instructor?
I started out as a fighter.
But now you are a teacher.
Yes, and I'd rather be an instructor. There's a lot more to give than.
Right, and we're going to have a beautiful thank you note. And I would like, Victoria, would you please read out this thank you note? This is, actually, it was Austin's mother who wrote this thank you note to Tommy. Would you read it out, please?
Thank you for everything you have done for Austin. I want you to know how much I appreciate what a positive influence you are on him. I'm glad Austin and I got to see you fight before you moved away.
Right. It's a very nice thing. I think you had tears in your eyes, right, when you read this thank you note, because it's really nice. And now we are going to see one of Tommy's fights, okay? There's going to be a still picture, and I would like you, Tommy, to talk about what's going on there, the important participants in a Taekwondo fight. It's going to be Taekwondo, right?
Yes, strictly Taekwondo.
Okay, so who are they in the background, who are they, and things like this?
Basically, this the difference between this fight and any other fight that is not in the ring. The ring, it's in a flat floor, which as you can see. The gentleman in the middle is the referee, he's the main referee. The one who's, yes.
So we have the referee here, and in the background I can see the three judges.
They are the one, the timer, the judges. In every corner, you can see someone sits in a chair, they are the corner judges.
And what is the scoring system? Is it very complicated or very simple?
The scoring system is very simple. Every kick to the head is 2 points.
Say it again. Every kick to the head.
It's 2 points.
2 points.
Yes.
Right.
And everything else, kick to the body, hit to the body, it's 1 point.
That's it.
Yes.
It's not very complicated, no. Right? Okay. I can see that the one wearing this headgear
is you. Yes.
And the other one is not wearing a headgear. Why?
Well, that was an interesting fight. I think he didn't need it to. He thought that he didn't need it. It's a must. Everybody has to wear it because it's just a precaution. Because it's not really, this is not a full contact fight. But still, somebody could fall, still can get kicked. And a lot of times, ambulance is the end of it.
So the end is the ambulance, the ER.
It could happen, of course.
Right.
It could happen.
In the emergency room.
And he thought he didn't need it.
He didn't need it. Right. Now, we are going to watch the first 1 minute of your fight, and I would like you to comment on this. What was inside your head, your thoughts, and also if it's a nice kick, which is worth,
if it's
2 points or 1 point, would you just tell us? So would you roll the tape, and Tommy is going to comment on this.
The basic bow, just to show respect. And basically, when a fight starts, it's just start measuring. It's not really anything else, but everybody's measuring each other's, what other people we do. Aggressive fighter, defensive fighter, and he's just trying to measure everybody up to see who is the one I'm fighting against. Here I did make a mistake and let him come in with a kick, which as you can see here, and after that point I know what he's going to do, what his style, and that was the kick. And since he's using his legs, he's good with his legs, because it's Taekwondo, I have to take it away from him, so at this point then I was charging him. So he really can't develop his legs, he really can't do anything with his legs. And I was constantly charging at him, stopping on his moments, every time he moved. And basically at this point, here, I knew I had him. There's a punch to the head. If somebody steps out of the ring, of course, he had to come back. And basically, he lost it at this point. He started losing his technique. He started to get mad. And when somebody starts to get mad, they usually make mistakes. And it's very hard to do anything. He completely lost his technique at this point. He doesn't do what the black belt should do. Which is he lost the fight.
Right. Excellent. Thank you very much. You won the match, didn't you?
Yes.
Right. Are you an aggressive guy? I mean, out in the street, you...
No.
No.
Not at all.
How many fights did you have out in the street?
All my life?
Yes.
Two fights.
In Hungary and in the States?
One in Hungary, and I had one in New York City with the Hungarian. Interesting.
What was it? I mean, he charged you, he attacked you? Or?
Yes, he attacked me and my friend, and it wasn't really a fight, it was just taken apart, so I never really get into any kind of fight or bar brawls and things like that.
Right. I think we heard the phrase, the American dream, which is the idea that in the US, the United States is a place where everyone has the chance of becoming rich and successful. Do you think that we still have this American dream?
Yes, it's still there for everybody who really wants it and who has the determination to walk that way all the way.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I would like you to just stand up and finish this in style. So how do Taekwondo fighters say goodbye?
Basically, they bow to everybody.
So would you do that?
Just bow to the students. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye for now. See you next week.
Kedves nézőink, tájékoztatjuk Önöket, hogy amennyiben előfizetési díjmentesen egyéni műholdvevő készüléket használva kísérik figyelemmel műsorainkat, úgy március 5-én hajnaltól újra kell hangolniuk műholdvevő készüléküket a képernyőn látható frekvenciákra. További információt a www.mtva.hu/vétel oldalon, a Teletext 314. oldalán, valamint az MTVA közönség szolgálatán a 00361-759-5050-es telefonszámon kaphatnak.
Még egyszer, következő.
Azt mondják, Laza vagy egy szószátyám. Az jó, de miért nem ismerlek eddig, hol jártál? Kened a médiát és vágod a tévét? Akkor csinálj egy klipet és lássuk a végét. Nagy az arcod és van merszed.
Hogy mi?
Akkor tölts fel a klipet március 10-ig, gyere, tedd meg.
Pattársat keresünk. Legyél az M2 új műsora, a Padarca. Várjuk 14-18 éves fiatalok jelentkezését névvel, telefonszámmal március 10-éig a podcasting@mtva.hu címen. Most megmutathatod.
Oké, kösz. Van még valaki?